Okay, let's get started. This is workshop 7. Titled this workshop is Service Team, How to Meet Church Members' Needs. And the teacher is April Henchman from Faith Baptist Church.
April. Hi. So I am super excited to be here to share what our church has been doing to serve members within the church. So this today, what I'm going to introduce is just a little background. About 2 years ago, myself and a couple other gals within our church recognized that there were a group of people going through health hardship in the church who had could use service. And then there were a group of people within the church who wanted to serve. So what we wanted to do was develop a team that could put those two groups together, because there was a kind of a disconnect. It was kind of hit or miss sometimes whether all the members were consistently being served. So we thought if we put a team together, then that team could be the in-between between the group that had the needs and the group that wanted to serve the needs. So we came up with the service team. Today, this presentation is a presentation we gave to the church about in fall of last year, and it just describes what we are and what we do. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask at any point or afterwards. It should just take about 10 or 15 minutes. So so this presentation will give an overview of what the service team is, what it does, who it serves, what it serves, who's involved, how it works, what can I expect, and how do I join. So we were asking, this is not only to educate the church member, our members, on what we are and what we do, but also recruiting people to be servers as well on the team. So what is the service team and what does it do? So our mission is to provide encouragement to members going through health hardship. And so we, like I said, we provided this organized team that makes it easy to bear one another's burdens, following Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens to fulfill the law of Christ. We don't want to take over any other service that people are already doing. So if people are already serving, just keep serving. We just want to add service and organize a little bit. So who and what do the service do we serve? So we serve the members of Faith Baptist Church, and we serve members that come through the prayer request list. We serve meals, visitation, and maintenance, and then each of those groups have guidelines. So who makes up the service team? Our team is made up of the director, the committee, and the coordinators, who are one, and then the servers. And then we all work together to serve members of the church. So I am the director. I basically direct topics for team discussions. I assign the coordinators to what members they're following, and then I also recruit the servers. Our coordinators and committee, they are the same. And what they do is they are the coordinators. As coordinators, they're the eyes and the ears of the church. So they find out what's going on in the church and how we can serve a need. And then as a committee, we meet quarterly to discuss team topics, to just, you know, make decisions on what we should continue to keep doing or what we should change within the service team. We've been developing this for about 2 years, like I've said, and we've changed quite a bit from where we initially started to where we are now, and we just continually try to improve that. So, and the servers are the members of the church. So how does it work? So the first thing that we do is we're notified that there's a member that could use a service, and then we assign a coordinator. So a coordinator is assigned to that member. The coordinator assesses the situation, finds out if there's needs that we can address. Then we recruit the servers, let the servers know, hey, we could use your help doing this. Once those servers volunteer, then we assign them to where they need to go, and then all the details are finalized. Just one second. What was that?
When you get that back, can you see that slide?
Absolutely. My computer crashed, so I took this out of the closet. It's my husband's, and apparently it doesn't keep a very good charge. Ugh. Okay. So I'm just going to I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to, do you have an extra? I'm sorry. Thank you. Okay, so I was talking about how basically the organization of the service group. Basically, so the three groups are, we have meals, visitation, and maintenance. So say you want to be on the meals group. If you want to be part of the meals group, then that would mean that anytime someone had a baby or a surgery or came out of rehab, then we would recruit you to take a meal to that member. Typically, we try to recruit three meals over a one-week period of time. The other thing, returning from rehab, we would recruit meals for that sort of thing. So recommendations we have for if someone were to take meals, we'd recommend disposable pans so that the member doesn't have to deal with getting you your plates back. And then we encourage people don't avoid serving because you're not good at cooking or because you don't have the time. Like, if you can stop by Bob Evans or stop by GFS to pick something up, that's okay. You know, I think that these members are going through a health hardship, and anything that we can do to help them is encouraging to them. So I just don't want that to be a barrier to people. We encourage that. So next, if you choose to be part of the visitation group, then what you would do is anytime someone had a new rehab stay, were admitted into a rehab, or had a hospital stay that was like 3 or 4 days, or were having a hard time at home, or if they qualified for meals but deferred meals, then we would send out somebody from the church to visit them. And what we've been doing is we have someone in our church who makes flower arrangements, silk flowers, and we will put those flowers in the office with a card from our team, and we'll recruit a visitor to take these flowers to that member. Now, say Wednesday night, I put the flowers in the office, and then I'll send out a recruit on Thursday saying, you know, if someone could go visit so-and-so within the next week, that would be great. That way, anyone that wants to visit can stop by the church at any time and pick up those flowers just at their convenience. And that's went really well. We also found out that we didn't really plan this, but it worked out really well this year. At the end of the year, members who have been on their prayer request list multiple times throughout the year had really hard years. It was really nice to take them Christmas bouquets. So in December, you know, we had a few extra flowers and bouquets, and it was nice just to send members out and say, hey, we just want to say Merry Christmas and give this person a little bit of encouragement, especially after the rough year that they've had and the multiple hospital stays or being on their prayer request list so many times. And then our other group is the maintenance group. And so what we do is we provide short-term maintenance. In this, we don't do routine maintenance. We don't do routine yard cleaning or routine snow plowing or house cleaning or anything like that. We just don't have the members to help serve that sort of thing. So what we do is, for example, if someone were to have a knee replacement and this man needs someone to mow his yard for 6 weeks, that's where our team comes in. Or if someone were to, we had an example, a man needed a knee surgery in February of last year, and it snowed the night before, so our team went over and plowed his driveway so he could get to the hospital, get to his knee surgery. Those are the sort of things that our team does. We help people move. We've done that on many occasions, just recruiting people to help with that sort of thing. So, those are our three groups. We have the meals, the visitation, and the maintenance group. And so if you were a server and you wanted to be part of our team, how would that work? So what you would do is, this is what we did for our church at least, what we did was we had people sign up under the group they wanted to be in, so meals, visitation, or maintenance. And after you sign up and you give me your phone number, I have an app on my phone. It's called Remind. And I add everyone to the Remind app. So I have a Remind app for meals, one for visitation and one for maintenance. If I need meals, I will text that entire group of people and say, I need meals for so-and-so at this time on this day. It limits me to 140 characters, so I can't send out a great big long windy text. It's just very short and to the point. No people can't reply to me. I mean, they can reply to me, but they can't reply to the group. So no group texting. So they can't reply to everyone. Just the conversation just between me and that person. And we have found, so that I do that for each group. So we do that for meals, maintenance, and visitation. If you sign up for all three groups, you might get text a little bit more frequently because obviously you're on all three groups. That's what we've been doing, and it's been working very well. It's been, I haven't had a situation where no one's responded yet. So actually, people respond usually within the minute. I have my, so what happens is I send out the request for meals, say, you know, so-and-so is going to get out of the hospital tomorrow. We need somebody to take her meals Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Let me know if you can do this or something like that. Someone, and then I'll wait for three people to respond to me. Once they respond to me, then I will send them to their coordinator. So say Mrs. X, Mrs. Y, Mrs. Z want to serve this member, then I will send those three people to the coordinator. The coordinator is the one that coordinates everything between the member who is sick and the members that want to serve her. So I'm just kind of like the one that directs everything, but the coordinator and the servers come together to serve the member after we recruit them. So I don't know, without my presentation, I don't know how much of a hole there is here. If you guys feel free to just kind of ask questions, and yes.
I would just say, and I should make this clear, that the pastors should have been in this session to understand this. This group has been one of the most influential programs in our church of involving a multitude of church members in serving the congregation that we have. And I will just say that the result of this has been phenomenal. Like you said, within about a minute or so, mm-hmm. you have all the meals that are necessary. People mm-hmm. People are volunteering. People are doing things maybe that otherwise would not have, or maybe would not have heard of it. It's a great opportunity to get people involved. What I find interesting is when I go to the hospitals to visit people, usually by the time I get to the hospital, a service team member has already dropped off the little vase of flowers with the card from the church that's already there. So the people at the hospital are saying, "Preacher, thank you for the people that came by and visited us." And it really, really is a great opportunity. So those of you who are pastors' wives and your husbands went to some other session, you need to really get there.
Yes.
How do you get more names? Do you keep track of it? Does the office give you names?
Prayer request list. So one of the... for you're referring to members who are going through health hardship.
It's only for members.
It is. Well, we say that, but if there are people that have been attending church for quite a long time, and we know that, then we're not going to not serve them because they haven't become a member. So, typically, it's people who are attending the church faithfully. And
what if you know that there's someone that will not be put on the list? They don't want to.
Then people can just tell me. Yeah, we just say that, so if someone falls through the cracks and I don't know about it, like, I just, that's how I know, is through the prayer request list, or someone tells me. If otherwise, I'm not going to, you know, assign someone to follow that person because I won't know about it. So,
One idea, too, that is effective, our prayer request list, of course, lists the name of the person and whatever their problem is, often a physical problem. But we also include on that list their address, their mailing address, and phone number. And we encourage our members to send cards. Some people will have hundreds of cards when I get there, and they love their cards. And that's just a way that everybody can serve. But that list really serves as the clearinghouse for prospects mm-hmm. for the service team.
It does. I was going to...
Oh. How many people would you say you have serving in each one of these groups?
So in the maintenance group, I have 21 servers. In the meals group, I have 29 servers. And in the visitors group, we have 41 servers.
And there's some overlap.
Yeah, a little bit of overlap. The coordinators are in there as well, so which our coordinators serve a lot, so they should be in there. Because there are servers as well. So, it's a total of, I think I counted it up one time, it was around 65, 70 people total serving. And then I count, so since October, just the people that we've served since October, we've served 33 members and 31 meals, 13 bouquets of flowers, and 4 acts of maintenance, and then 1 plaque. We're trying to figure out what to give men instead of giving them flowers. Like maybe give them a plaque or a keychain or something like that. You know, yeah. So.
And it's not that we were doing some of this before, but it was more hit or miss. This is much more coordinated.
Right. Absolutely. We were doing it before, but then we were noticing that some people were falling through the cracks. Or what I was noticing is I was wanting to serve, and I would say, well, who can I talk to about serving? And then there was not really it was hard to find a point person because this person thought that person was doing it, and that person thought this person was doing it. So this was just kind of to clear the confusion. And it's, yes.
Do you find that prayer requests are picking up over the last couple of years? The reason I ask is because oftentimes you find out as a pastor later on that, oh, so-and-so had this going on. Well, we didn't know that. Nobody said. Or they never wrote it down as a prayer request. Because a prayer request sheet is your clearinghouse. Prayer request sheets aren't always. Do you find that people are getting, oh, we better mention this to get this on the sheet so it gets sent through? Or do you see any of that happening at all? Or no, it's.
I don't think that. What do you think?
Because necessarily think that the number of requests has picked up. You know, in any church, and maybe in a bigger church, there are some people that the minute they hear this, they think, well, how can I take full advantage of it? But the pastors also serve as a way to say, you know, not so fast there. You know, I mean, there's always that handful of people that wants a free meal when they stub their toe. You know,
initially, we did run into that. And I think we did a pretty good job. So in the service team meetings, whenever we meet with the other coordinators, I'll bring up these situations and be like, so-and-so has asked for this many times. Like, what should we do? Is this something, really a need that we should be addressing? But we don't want to wear out our servers. We don't want people to get burned out. So we want to be respectful about the servers and make sure that we choose appropriate services for them to do. Yes?
As a director, how do you keep, personally, everything in order as far as, you know, who's in the hospital or where they're at or, like, their addresses or needs and stuff like that, like, as an overview from you?
So I have my notebook. I keep things in my notebook, and then I also have a group text that I send out to the coordinators, and I try to, on a monthly basis, text all the coordinators and say, for instance, Beth, these are the people you're following. Bonnie, these are the people you're following, and that I can reference that text to know kind of where I'm at. And then whenever we meet at our service team meetings, then I can say, well, we can take these people off the list, you know, and these are the people that we still need to follow. So me personally, I typically do it just off of text messages. I can go back to them, and those are very important to me. And then my little notebook, I kind of jot things down there too, but I do better on my phone. Go ahead.
So we were talking about, you know, there are people who want to take full advantage of, like, free meals or whatever, and you kind of keep track of how many times a person asks for something. How do you tactfully go about doing that?
You know, well, the first thing that I do is, like I said, I first make sure I meet with the coordinators, make sure it's not just me making a judgment. Sometimes I meet with preacher and just be like, what do you think about this situation, and kind of get his take on it. And then after that, it's just a matter of saying, I'm sorry, we can't do that. Like, I really, you know, it would be nice if we could do that, but we just don't have the servers to do it, or we're just not. Because to be honest, when this happens, in the past it's happened, and I think we don't get as big of a jump. Like, members of the church kind of know. So I think if you ask them over and over and over for the same people, then less people respond. So sometimes it's just a matter of saying, I don't have the servers to do it.
Sometimes you just have to cut people off.
Yeah. And what we've done in the past, too, with transportation, Pastor Monty has suggested, I just suggest different avenues. Like, we can't do it, but maybe this would work out for you. You know, we had somebody that wanted us to transport them everywhere, and we just can't do that. So I suggested Link as a transportation, you know, gave them a lot of options, a lot of phone numbers, bus options that they could use.
Just to let them know, like, it's just a temporary thing, and if they want something more long-term, give them to, like, a public service, maybe, like, the government provides or something.
Yes, and I've had that conversation as well. Like, we've had people who've wanted us to do yard work over several times, and I've had to say, it's a hard conversation to have, but I've had to say, you know, this is what we do. It's temporary, just, but if for routine maintenance, it's not, we don't have those servers to do that, which is true, because I think if I ask people to routinely rake leaves, then they would not want to serve anymore, I'm afraid, at least. Yes?
Have you ever had any long-term, you know, for instance, we've had a woman had back surgery and she's out for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Do you continue weekly for 6 months, or would you do like one meal a week for 6 months? Or, I mean, she is unable to do anything.
Well, I would probably talk to the coordinators in the meeting and assess the situation. Typically, if it's a long, is she at home or is she at rehab?
The rehab comes to her.
Okay. Right. Is she home by herself or does she have family?
She has two young boys, preschool boys.
Oh, my.
Mom comes and goes, mom will take the boys, but she's there alone a lot.
I would be seeing if I could get somebody to help her. That's where, I mean, just initially off, you know, I don't know if she has family, or she should have another, I would hope there would be another adult that could help her, as far as the church. I mean, the church would come in and check on her. I do think that. I'm not saying that at all. But our goal, too, is trying to find somebody else who is her family or neighbor or friend that can also help, so it's not just her depending on us.
They do that, but, like, should we continue with meals, too? Is that the thing, or?
I would say as needed. Like, I wouldn't wear people out with it, but it's hard because I don't know exactly her situation. Like, maybe when she first came home from the hospital, we usually do three meals. And then if we were to continually to check on her and find that she really needs more meals, maybe one meal every once in a while, but she can't depend on us to feed, you know, continue to bring meals. We can't do that. But because it's really just a nice gesture. She needs a long-term plan for 6 months, you know, to help herself. And we could help maybe get that in place, but that's not something that our team would be able to do.
I think, April, one thing we've tried to prevent is dependence.
Yes.
Any kind of dependence developing, but also demonstrate the care and concern of the church. And in a real hardship situation, we would work if they couldn't figure out, you know, what to do. There are government agencies, Meals on Wheels, there are all kinds of things that we could help them connect them.
And we have done that, too. We've called, and that's a good point, we've called, made sure people had the phone number to Meals on Wheels, and make sure, we have one of our coordinators is a social worker, so she knows all this background information on helping people at home who need it, and so we just provide them that information, and then they can make the choice if they want to go that avenue or not.
April, we also factor in their financial ability to take care of themselves, or they have themselves taken care of, and also if they have family members who can help. How does that come into play?
Personally, I do not, if I bring it up in the service team meeting, I can say those things will come up in the meeting from other coordinators. And then at that point, I need to say, well, let me talk to Pastor Monty and see what he thinks, because he knows that situation way better than I do as far as financial and family and things like that. And if he says, yes, they really do need help, then at that point we go forward. If he says, you know what, they really got a lot, you know, that they can pull from besides us, then at that point, then I draw the line. So that's kind of how I work with that.
There's a general biblical principle in benevolence, you know, about the widows, if they have nephews or relatives, male relatives, let them requite them at home. And so we try to follow that. You know, we're people are very wealthy, for example, and they need yard care. Well, they can likely hire a neighbor to take care of them rather than just having them on the church just because they're a cheap Charlie.
A cheap Charlie. I'm sorry that my computer died. Thank you. Yes, I'm sorry.
I will say that the service team has involved more members of our church in an organized way and given people direction. Here's a key thought. A lot of people want to help, but they need direction.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know what to do, what is the opportunity, make it clear, and that's what the coordinators do, and, you know, where do I need to have this meal at what time, and you'd be amazed at how many people will jump at something if those details are all crystal clear in their thinking, because they want to serve. People want to serve.
I turn people down all the time. I tell them, nope, we got it covered, we do that. I'm going to go here real quick.
I was kind of tacked on to what Keshmani was saying,
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Okay.
I was just going to say along that, something that she and I were talking about right before, because I did the De Grati one earlier today. She and I were talking about this just right before she came in here. If we don't take care of our members, how can they then reach out to the community and to do the evangelism? And I think that's what her her ministry is amazing. It takes care of the members, and then they can reach out.
Okay.
I'm just not sure. You were going through it kind of quickly. I'm not sure if I understand how you implement this in the church. So you take it before the church, kind of with a PowerPoint like this, and you have 3 sign-up sheets?
Mm-hmm. So that's what we did. Well, yes. Essentially, that's what we did. We took this PowerPoint to church, and we had it after a Sunday night service and invited people up to have food and to listen to the presentation. And then at that point, I just gave the presentation, which is basically telling them what the service team is, and then recruiting people. Once they're recruited, they have to make the decision what team they want to be in. We had packets listed, and then we had tables set up with packets, and then they just go and sign up under their packet, like what team they want to be on. Like, this is the service team, maintenance team. People just signed up and gave us their phone number. We text them, and that's how it worked.
And then, how did you
decide on your coordinators? I personally...
You mentioned them.
I did. Well, no. Initially, whenever we came up with the idea, there was me and a couple of girls, ladies, that came up with it, and then we said, we need more people. We can't handle all this on our own. So then I had in mind a few people that I knew would do well and just wanted to ask them what if they wanted to help, and they did, which is great and helpful. And then we, about 2 years ago, gave a informal presentation in Sunday school classes asking for people to help, and we got a couple other members to help that way with coordinating. And of those, some of them worked out and some of them didn't, because it really wasn't clear on what we were doing at that time. We were kind of, we weren't sure, and it's developed into this at this point now. So,
do you revisit this sometimes as far as recruiting new people? Or?
Absolutely. We just recruited another. We had 6 coordinators for a while, and we've just recruited a 7th. She hasn't actually done anything yet, but she's just on the text messages so she can get an idea of what's going on.
Okay.
Yeah, we're finding that more coordinators is better. Yes.
How often do you meet? And then you said you tell people to watch certain situations. So, like, with, say, if someone's going to have surgery, then they just keep an eye on that situation, a particular recovery, that sort of thing?
Absolutely.
And then how often do you meet with your coordinators and that sort of thing? And what do you discuss during those meetings?
So we meet quarterly. So so January, April, whatever the what am I missing? July and October, I think, right? So... and then we always talk about who we're currently serving and making sure that I give them a list of who I have on my list that we've served, and they go through the list and make sure that I'm right. And we talk about problems that have occurred in that 3 months, things that we can improve, and things that we're just going to have to accept it for the way that it is. And then what was your other question? Yeah.
One other one, though, the meals. Does one particular person provide the whole meal, or do you kind of break it up? Somebody brings meat, somebody brings sides.
No, one person provides the whole meal, and I try to get everyone to tell each other what they're bringing, so they're not duplicates. So a lot of times we have ladies; they'll bring, you know, meat and potatoes and a dessert and vegetable, and it's crazy sometimes. The coordinator sets that up. Yes,
we have care groups, and basically I call the head person of that care group, and then usually it results in a crazy meeting after church, and who wants to bring this, and what are you bringing, and like we've had this visitor that's been coming regularly, and she wanted to help, and so she sat in on the meeting. I was like so embarrassed because of the way the whole meeting was handled, but it wasn't me handling it, it was the you know, head person or whatever. And so I was like, we've got to figure something out.
Yeah. The texting is nice because it's nobody really, it's crazy for me because it's all coming at me, but yeah. it's really nice because you can just get the first three people that respond. You're the ones that are doing the meal and everybody else I'm
is
saying.
Is there a charge for that app?
No.
I've seen it before, but I wasn't sure.
There's not. It's called Remind. It's for teachers.
Right.
Yeah. So, yes.
I was just going to say, when my husband fell recently and beat himself up pretty bad, mm-hmm. we were actually recipients of this. Someone brought a meal to our house. I didn't even know she was going to do it. She just called me up on Friday afternoon and said, I'm bringing them dinner. And we were able to... We already had things planned that evening, but the next day we had a company that came over to help us get some stuff done. Michael was not able to do anything, basically, and I was able to feed everybody while they
were. Oh, good, 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 good. Okay, okay. I think that's it. That's our time is up. So thank you, everybody, for coming.